Okay, take two. This seems a bit smoother when I turned off my video.
Yeah.
Cool. So you were saying Tim Robbins as Freddy Krueger. Where did you hear this? I haven't heard this at all.
Not Tim Robbins, Tim Robinson.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, Tim Robbins would be very interesting casting. He's got to be getting up. I mean, I know he's not terribly old, but he's got to be getting like 70 or close to it now. But no, Tim Robinson. I think he's like writing, directing, and starring in it too.
Yeah, I'm looking at the news for this. Oh. It seems I haven't seen anything official. A new Nightmare on Elm Street, blah, blah, blah.
So these are mostly rumors slash film. And
they're saying Tim Robinson would make the perfect Freddy Krueger, and I don't think that's inaccurate.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I think it'd be good, but it would also be like even quirkier, I think.
Yeah.
Which might be good. I don't know. Wait, so they're making a Jason Voorhees prequel series or something? Is that what you were saying?
Oh, we got distracted.
It's A24.
Man. It's on Peacock. It's going to be called Crystal Lake. And it's starring What's-Her-Face from what is she best known for? She was on ER for a while. Oh, my God. What's her name? Why can't I find you? Linda Cardellini.
Cardellini?
Yeah.
Oh, I saw, you know what? I saw that announcement. She's playing Mrs. Voorhees, right?
Yeah. Which is the, because like, I know, you know, we're going deep into the horror lore here, but like Jason Voorhees doesn't show up till Friday the 13th too. It's Jason's mother who's the killer in one. And I don't know how they're going to do a prequel series.
We've all seen Scream.
Well, it's also in Friday the 13th, okay? But, like, how are they going to do a prequel if it's, like, not going to be her again?
Hmm.
I don't know. It's a little weird. And like I said, I've cooled on A24 a little bit since they, you know, since their heyday, so to speak. But, I'm going to watch it. I just don't know. I don't know. I'm not convinced. What do you think? Anything else to add, Steve?
No, I was really going to kind of get at, like, I don't think. We're just trying to figure out, like, where do you go with a reimagining or a reinterpretation of Crystal Lake?
Yeah. That just seems weird.
I mean, I think it's got to create more sympathy for like the antagonist, right? Whether it's her or whether it's later Jason or whatever they do, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I don't know.
Why else do you do a prequel if you're not gonna develop the character in said prequel?
I mean, her motivation's pretty clear cut revenge for the death of her son. And I don't know, from the trailer, it looks like she's there when it happens. I don't know. We'll see. I am going to withhold judgment until it actually happens. We don't know what's happening yet. So anyway, all of that being said, Sean, what's going on? What have you been up to this last couple weeks?
So let's work backwards, 'cause that's usually easier. Yeah. Well, I finished Love Island. We didn't watch it on the final night, which was Sunday. We watched it last night. So Love Island USA is done. How was this one compared to others? I think the finale was very predictable. So basically, it like gets down to the final four couples, and then America votes on who they want to be the winner.
Sure.
And the couple that I think perhaps only it's the strongest couple, clearly, from my perception of the show, the season, but I think it's like really kind of the only actually committed and, you know, couple that has like really good chemistry and staying power, I think one, which is good.
Yeah.
And you win they used to do it where it's like one of the two in the couple would win $100,000 and they get to decide whether or not to share it. But I think this time they just straight up, they did away with that. So I think this time they just the collectively won $100,000 and they can split it however they want, or and then I think the vote was like pretty predictable too, in terms of like the bottom, like the two couples that actually seem like they're like either incredibly toxic and unhealthy or just like not right for each other, they came in the bottom two. And the couple that was like fine came in second. So it was a little predictable, but I would say overall it turned into a pretty entertaining season. It kind of blew by really fast.
Fair enough.
As far as like a show that bears like five or six new episodes every week for 6 weeks does. But yeah. And then let's see. Before that, we were in Southern Illinois for Shelby's family reunion weekend.
Amazing. Weekend, how'd that go?
Which was fun.
Cool.
Yeah. It was good. It was good. I went a couple of years ago and it's just really nice. Good time.
Damn, time really does fly, because it seems like just yesterday you started dating not so new girl. Like the fact that, you know, I've kind of gotten
to the point where it's just saying not so new is just like not even really even accurate, because I don't want to choose another adjective because I feel like that would be grossly.
And I don't think of it that way. I'll let you know. It's just continuing the trend.
No, I realize that. But like, I mean, we've been together for more than 3 years.
That's amazing. So I'm glad. Well, I'm glad.
Yeah, actually, Apple just reminded me by like sending my like featured photos recently, were all the 800 photographs I took at the Blink-182 concert in July, July of 2023, when I went by myself.
I'm sorry.
And just had like an absolute fucking blast. No, it's okay. So just the lore for everybody out there who doesn't. Matt was supposed to come down here to go with me. Didn't work out for him, which was very sad. And I literally, starting with Shelby, not so new girl, starting with her, and then working my way down the list of literally every friend, every acceptable acquaintance, everybody who I either like got rejected, and I don't want to say that Shelby rejected me, she was busy with work that night.
Yeah.
A lot of other people had stuff going on or were out of town because this is early July. And then a couple people were like, yeah, I'd love to, except I've already got tickets. So I was like, okay, cool. And so I was like, you know what? I've gone to the movies by myself plenty of times. I've done a lot of things. I mean, I'm an only child. I do lots of stuff by myself.
Yeah.
That other people do in groups. So I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to go. I'm not missing. Like, there's no way I was going to miss it. But I'm just like, I'm just going to stop trying to find someone to go with me. And I'm just going to go with myself. And I had a fucking blast.
Good. That's all that matters.
And yeah. So that was 3 years ago, which is wild.
That is insane that was 3 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, time really flies. And then what else was going on this past couple of weeks?
Well, speaking of which, this came up because
worked out a little crazy. Yeah.
Fair.
You don't want to hear about my work.
I do. I was just wanted to also talk about Survivor Series because that's
kind of funny. I don't want to hear about my work. You guys don't want to hear about it either. So
fair. Because you sent a text earlier that says Survivor Series is coming to you guys in, November?
November.
Do you have an official date? Because I would 100% go to that, like, without question. That would be amazing.
Oh, yeah, let me see. And it's a War Games, which, like, I don't know. I never really watched WCW, but I know that it was, like, one of the big things that Paul Triple H Levesque wanted to bring over once he kind of got a lot of creative control.
That's awesome.
Also, I've never been to a Survivor Series. Let's see. Survivor Series 2026 will take place on Saturday, November 28th. So I guess that would be the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm in. I can make that work.
Daikin Park, or DP, good old DP, Houston, Texas.
Okay. I will book a flight.
It's the 40th annual anniversary of Survivor Series.
Holy crap, really?
I mean, WrestleMania is on what, like 43, 44, somewhere there now?
Yeah. I didn't know. God, I'm old. Like, I didn't even know WrestleMania was that old. My God.
I know. It's getting kind of dicey for us.
Yeah. I was saying, I don't know, I haven't said on the podcast yet, but like, I saw, over the weekend, I saw the new Jackass movie. And obviously this is going to be their last, you know, they've kind of said this is the last one because they can barely do these stunts anymore. Like, they're not much older than us.
I know, that's the scary thing.
Right. Like, yeah, we are younger, but like, it's not, you know,
it's not significant anymore. It felt significant when we were like 14, 15, because like they were at least grown ass men.
Yeah, exactly.
But like once you also become an adult like that, I don't know. I'm 38. I'm going to guess Johnny Knoxville is 52.
I would say that's still probably a little older. Let's see. Okay.
Hell yeah. Price is right.
Still good. Yeah. But yeah, it was interesting to see all of them so old. And I'm like, man, when I like first saw you guys, you were not that much older than me. What happened? Mm-hmm. But it was still good. So, you know, I can't really complain too much. But yeah, all that being said, I will start looking for like a flight down there tomorrow.
We also have a guest room and a king size bed in the guest room. Sick. And I'll sweeten the deal with the fact that we live not 5 minutes from the ballpark. we're just on the other side of the freeway from downtown.
Sweet. So. I'm in. Yeah, I'm totally in. Steve, you should come too. Not to like, you know, twist your arm or anything.
That's what I can do.
All right.
Steve, if you still have in-laws in San Antonio, you could always, you know, drop said wife and children off, perhaps. just to throw that one out there.
To their friends in H-Town.
Fair. Yeah,
bingo. Everybody wins.
Personal plans all out to the side. Have you caught up on all of the good shows that we've been watching in the background? I assume you've been watching Night of the Seven Kingdoms. Oh, not Seven Kingdoms. Sorry. What's the other? What's up?
Hot D.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. What are your thoughts on the new episodes?
I actually, like, I think this is a really solid season.
I am, right?
I don't know if you guys saw what I sent in the Discord earlier, but it was a Dennis Reddles head superimposed on the body of Ormond Hightower, who's very quickly turning into what seems to be the big bad of the season, or at least antagonist. I don't know, big bad. Everybody's kind of bad. But both the actor who plays Ormond Hightower, as well as like certain of the character traits of Ormond, this interpretation of Ormond Hightower, are very Dennis Reynolds coded.
You're not,
and
wrong.
It's kind of hilarious. And so seeing that, and I'm just like, you know, I'm not going to be able to not see Glenn Howerton's, you know, head now in that body whenever he comes up on screen, and that's not a bad thing. That's honestly a great thing. I've really enjoyed it. I think so far, the first four episodes, they're halfway through because I think they're doing eight this season. It's better than the second season,
100%,
which I thought was good. And you know, I think the first season had some really standout episodes, and I really enjoyed it overall. But I think so far, this has been my favorite season.
Fair enough, Steve. And
based
are you
on the first
up?
Four episodes alone,
no, I'm actually going through it with a friend. So,
right, you started from the beginning with a friend, so you're like all the way behind now.
Yep.
It won't take you too long to get through it.
Yeah, it's not. We're halfway through season two right now.
Yeah,
we made the joke. Yeah. Like I forget what we was talking, but like, you know, if you start over and this friend hasn't even watched Game of Thrones, I'm like, do you have to stop every 5 minutes to answer questions?
Well, no, because it's a prequel.
I mean, that's fair.
Wouldn't think so, at least.
That's totally.
But I'd leave that to Steve. Steve, do you have to stop every 5 minutes to answer questions?
No, because it's mostly independent from Game of Thrones. Sometimes I do get confusing though, is the names. So it's Rhaenyra. So I have to be like, oh, was that that? Oh, did that happen for this reason? I think there's like one or two retcons I didn't catch on the first time. There were just changes between seasons. But also, I really hate with a fucking passion that stupid, like him staying in, that one castle keep where nothing happens. He just hallucinates the entire like quarter half of that.
Harrenhal. Harrenhal.
Unless I'm completely, it's totally possible I'm missing something. I just feel like that's a giant waste of time.
I think the payoff, and I'm actually a little jealous of you because, well, maybe, perhaps not jealous of you, jealous of your friend who's watching it for the first time, because he's going to get to roll straight into season three, which,
yep,
as I said a few weeks ago, the first two episodes of season three are very clearly the last two episodes of season two, or that's how they were supposed to be, and then the strike happened and they had to rework it.
Yeah.
I think the payoff will be solid enough that it's not going to feel like a complete time sink. But yeah, I think in the moment it feels like it. And I think certainly because Matt Smith is phenomenal and I think his portrayal of David is phenomenal. So like that can feel a little frustrating.
No, yeah, it makes sense. I think, yeah, I'm really glad that we didn't. Oh. Testing.
Yep.
I lost all of you. I lost. I can't hear anybody.
Uh-oh.
Oh no.
Can you hear us now?
Can you hear me?
Okay, I just had to switch to my
Matt.
I'm switching off my headphones. Can you guys hear me now?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I'll just do that.
Yeah, just keep raw dog in the podcast.
This one's going to take some editing. I love it.
Why do you have to edit raw dog?
All right, I'll just release as is, Mickey, just for you.
Thanks. When I head to Nevada, I start thinking about things after I made that comment. I got some business to attend to.
I see. I see that. But you so rudely interrupted Sean. What was he saying?
Well, I was just saying, I was kind of I'm kind of jealous of Steve's friend who's watching this for the House of the Dragon for the first time, because he can just roll straight through into season three. So that helps.
Awesome. Yeah.
But yeah, it does feel like in the moment, and I think this is part of the legitimate criticism of Damon's story arc in season two, is just, it feels listless until the very end, and then the season ends.
Yes. Yeah.
But if you can see the first two episodes of season three, maybe not. I don't know. I'm actually kind of interested to hear Steve how it's received at that point.
Yeah, I'm gonna because he'll see it pretty much the same time as I am. So I'll be like, oh, it's okay. Now he also wants to read the books. I don't know if both of you have read the books either.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't read all of them. I've read Fire and Blood, which is what House of the Dragon's based on. I read the first two Duncan Egg books. So season one of Night of the Seven Kingdoms is the first book, basically pretty much straight adapted. I mean, they were pretty close to it, closer than either Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon have been. And then I've read A Game of Thrones, which is the first book in the series based that Game of Thrones is based on. I haven't read the rest yet. It's just a lot of words.
And an entire like chapter
like
of
to, Hodor. You know. Well, that would be easy. That would be really easy because it would just be Hodor over and over again
for him to get his word count up. So he's like, you know, I've totally wrote 1,000 words today.
It's literally just him falling asleep with like cut and paste like under his fingers, and so it's just you know, jeez,
it's fantastic. Oh man.
But to pivot from House of the Dragons, since I won't give anything away for Steve if he hasn't caught up, but finish The Bear.
Oh, okay.
I recognize that Steve is also not done, but you know.
Generally, what are your thoughts on The Bear? What did you think of the ending?
I really enjoyed it. I liked the pace of the season. I thought it was paced exceptionally well.
Agreed.
I like the kind of, I don't want to call it an epilogue, but the conclusion, like the finale, but it feels like a bookend on the series. You know, I think there are lots of great moments in it. Obviously, the thing between Sid and Parmi when they got the call about the Michelin stuff.
Yep.
I'm trying. I don't know how far into like actual terms I can go because I don't know if Steve is going to really care. But I thought that was really good. I thought that scene was excellent. I thought like lastly, I thought the payoff for Richie was great. I loved the way his story ended.
Agreed.
Like, they should really have ended up together
so long ago. That's all I'll say.
No, exactly. And like, but I'm glad they did. And I'm glad they took their time with it because it wasn't like, clearly it wasn't like the emphasis of the series anyways.
No, of course not.
I think like if I were going to, my immediate like, you know, look back on the bear is I think Richie's my favorite character. Favorite regular, at least. I mean, I love whenever we'd see John Barenthal come back.
Yeah.
In flashbacks, but like separating that, I think Richie's probably my favorite character. And I don't think I would have said that during season one or two. Which is, he just gives it a great performance. I really enjoyed it. The only thing I have, and it's not a criticism necessarily, but like, why is he qualified for the job he's trying to get at the end? That's all I got to say about it. I don't know. I know enough about that industry, that field, to be like, that's not like something where like you walk in on, where you're like, I've been a chef and a sous chef and a line cook and adult, I went to the Culinary Institute. Like, I don't know how that experience gets you in the door at a place like that.
But I wonder, sure, well, he said not? It was an intern.
Right.
And he also, like, he might have shown, like, his ability. Like, they might start him off doing some really simple, like, he already has shown his, and this is kind of like, I mean, again, I am reaching very hard here, but he last season, he kind of definitely explored architecture. Like, he was looking at these houses when he was like, and just like kind of appreciating stuff. Yeah. He also was really, really talented at drawing.
Fair.
Like, they've kind of made that, very clear, like with all those like things he's drawn of food, and even like chefs are like, you drew this, like,
yeah.
So I'm thinking they might start him off like doing, you know, illustrations that go along with stuff and then build from there, like teach him stuff. Like, I think he could do that, you know, as an intern and build, but again, that is a total reach.
Yeah. And again, like also having like, I mean, I wasn't like super tight with any of the architecture students in college. First of all, like, I don't know about like where you guys went to college, but like at Syracuse, architecture was a 5-year major.
Yeah.
And like the reason that I wasn't like, I was friendly with architecture students, but I was not friends with architecture students was because I never saw them because they were working their asses off like all the time.
Yeah.
For 4 years I was there, plus the 5th year I'd go up there to see, what's her name?
Yeah.
Benny.
Yeah, that one. anyways, so like that's where I have a little bit of trouble. But it's almost the same voice in my head that I get when it's like I'm watching like a legal thing and I'm actually enjoying it, but then my brain's like, but like, you know, it wouldn't actually happen this way, and I'm like, you know, just like shut up. Just enjoy it.
And I think there is something to be said, so as much as we try to,
it's a massive plot hole or anything.
No. But I think there's also something to be said for like, and you know, not to like, with something we all know is that like, if you're, he's one of the most famous chefs in the world. And I think that says something, like that speaks for something. Like, I know it shouldn't. Yeah. And a lot of people, but like, you know, it's almost like Michael Jordan being allowed to play baseball all of a sudden. Like I said, you don't have no skills in this. You've never done this before, but because you're Michael Jordan, we're going to let you. And I know that's a weird comparison, but I think like, oh, you're one of the most world renowned, like famous chefs, and you've like proved, like, you know, maybe that's just, and you want to be an intern here.
Like, look, we know that you're going to hit like 230 in double A, but you're still Michael Jordan, so you're going to put butts in seats. So yeah, okay, fine.
Like, who wouldn't want, you know, like, especially if it's a fancy, you know, architectural firm in New York, they're like, oh man, you cooked my best meal, of course you can build my house. I don't know if there's a comparison there. I'm just making shit up, but still.
I think there's also a degree of jealousy with me, and not that I like ever like super contemplated wanting to be an architect, but like in conversations that I have with people now about like, if I could do it all over again, like and do something different, what would I do? And like, I used to want to do like landscape architecture. And so I think like, I don't know. I mean, when I love looking at architecture, I love appreciating architecture. Yeah, I get it. Like that looks like a really awesome job if you got the skills and the education to get it, but I literally don't. You know, pushing 40, I don't think I really am ever going to have those skills or experience, which is fine. But yeah, I thought that was good. And I've seen like a lot of people come down hard on it. And I'm like, I'm not going to let that little thing kind of like affect how I view both the season, the finale episode itself, the season itself, or the series. I thought it was from start to finish excellent. I think it told a great story.
Yeah.
And I think it ended on in the right place.
I would wholeheartedly agree with all of that. And we can have a much deeper discussion at a later point when Steve finishes. But I will say I agree with you. And I think, you know, none of it was a surprise. Like, it wasn't out of left field, like, where he was like, you know, you can kind of tell over the last couple seasons that this is something he wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's, you know, like, total shock. Or is it a total shock to, like, not, like, to understand why he's so burnt out and why he realized he doesn't love what he did, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think like too, like his whole conversation with Sid about like the day that's portrayed in like the most of the season, the last season,
yeah,
and how she handled it versus how he would have handled it, I think tells you a lot about where his head is and where his heart is. And, you know, I think that was a really important like character development moment. It's almost like
agreed.
Like he didn't want to become Joel McHale.
Yeah.
He didn't want to become like that chef, you know. He didn't want to become that like angry perfectionist like lunatic that's just abusing people. He did something better for himself and for honestly his restaurant.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed it. And I'm gonna miss it. I know I've heard there are talks of like different spinoffs and stuff, but I think the ensemble cast was great.
Yeah.
I hope that I see more of them who are less featured in the other things and in more things for sure.
Agreed.
But, yeah.
And I would watch the shit of a Richie spinoff.
I would too.
I think that's the one that they should focus on if they really want to do it. And I know he, Eben, I forget, you know, the rest of his name, but like he's insanely busy now, but like I would watch that. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I would too. I forget his name. Who's the pastry chef or guy who becomes the pastry chef?
Oh my God. I'm having a blank on his name too. I know exactly who you're talking about.
I thought his, like, first of all, his performance throughout the series was wonderful, but that last episode with his dad sitting there and he got to like pour the caramel sauce on the dessert, everything about that.
Candle
beautiful, heartbreaking, yeah. Like nailed it.
Yeah. Shout
out to him in particular.
Yep, and what's his face? Will Poulter, completely jacked in this show, and you know, like you did, like this is such a different side that I've never seen of him before, which I love. And he's such a good character in this.
See, like, whenever he's the Australian guy, right?
Yeah, or well, yes, he's Australian, but like in this show, he was in the Netherlands. That's where he went to like the pastry, like you know, into him. And then he comes to work with him.
Yeah. So like every time I see him, I'm like, one, you're not a child. And two, you're Australian.
Yeah.
Okay, sure. I thought he was, I thought their dynamic was really good too. And then last thing I'll say.
Yeah, of course.
The last nod to Rob Reiner.
Oh, amazing. Yes.
Of all the moments in the finale that got to me, that was the one that broke me.
That was good. Yeah.
it was so well done. It was so tasteful and hopeful in a way that you would think that like honoring somebody who was just murdered, you know, for no good reason at all.
That's so fucked up.
Who's no longer here and who has done so many wonderful things for film and for entertainment and for honestly society. And he was just a good human being.
Agreed.
To honor him in that way without being so heavy handed, without making it like fraud or cliche. I think they did it perfectly. And so
agreed.
That was beautiful. I think the whole franchise thing, you know, that made me excited too. Army's reaction to that was good too. So yeah. I could keep talking about how much I love the bear, but I really did.
No, and by the way, it was Marcus, portrayed by Lionel Boyce, but just because I had to Google it.
Yeah, he's Marcus. Wonderful. I hope we see him in lots more things because he's a great actor and good performance. So
agreed. I just saw him in Project Hail Mary, which was also really good. So highly recommend. He hasn't started anything else.
Okay, my version to that is Ryan Gosling's face doesn't look right anymore, and I'm having like cognitive issues with like that.
Really? What do you mean? I want to dive here in detail.
I'm pretty sure he got like botched plastic surgery, because I'm sure he got what he wanted, but like he got like something done that to me he doesn't look like Ryan Gosling anymore.
So he's like uncanny
Ryan Gosling
valley
got stung by some bees. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
It's like Adrian from Little Nicky, like put him in the room with Henry Winkler, and he got kind of fucked up. I'm sorry, Ryan Gosling. I do enjoy you as a performer and human too, but like, I don't know what you did, man. Don't do it again.
Fair. Steve, is there any other topics you want to talk about before we get to the main event?
No, let's move to the main event.
Well, so for this week, I thought we would do something a little different because and we haven't done this yet on the show, which is boggles my mind because all we talk about is TV. Since we last recorded, they have released all of the Emmy nominations. And I thought we could take some time to just go through stuff and give our takes on the shows that are nominated, what we think, and then kind of do a little bit of a deep dive into the things we like really care about on the list. And then use the time between now and the Emmys to watch some of the things we missed. Put it in perspective, things we're interested in, and we'll take it from there. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like it. Sounds good to me.
Sean?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, and consistent with the idea of, like, let's just kind of mix stuff up instead of just continuing to try to, like, push through all these shows since we're still missing two artificially intelligent created co-hosts.
Fair enough.
Anyways, until they're revived, I think it keeps things fresh to do stuff like this. And like, I'm always down to find new stuff because I got time to kill at night, especially. So let's go.
Fair enough. Well, okay, let's start with the fact that Mariska Hargitay is hosting the Emmys this year, which is awesome. Like, I know she's been on TV for like ever now. You know, she's been on Law and Order SVU for like what, 20 years? But it seems kind of random. Like, usually it's that. Yeah, but like, is that usually it's someone, you know, like a host of some capacity, you know, usually like a Conan or a, you know, Jimmy Kimmel's. Like, what do you like think?
Usually it's a comedian.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you think Mariska Hargitay is going to do with hosting the Emmys? Either one.
Steve,
thoughts?
Her hosting the Emmys? I don't know. Is that a like a last minute grab to get her in front of audience? I could think of 10 other people I'd rather have Conan O'Brien hosting it.
I mean, everyone would rather have Conan fucking rules, but that's another story. But yeah, I don't get it.
Well, question. So like, Conan has hosted the Oscars several times now, I believe.
Yes.
Like, is there much crossover between people who have hosted the Oscars and hosted the Emmys? And if there is, how often is it that someone who's already hosted the Oscars goes back to host the Emmys?
He's definitely hosted both. I know that for a fact. Let me see.
Okay.
All right. He's hosted the Emmys twice. And how many times the Oscars? Three. So, you know, and including like this 2027, he will host. So, like, I think, you know, especially for someone who's like so known for being a host and being for comedy, I think he could cross over. But, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just too much of a Conan fan because I think he's, you know. Who is definitely underappreciated by NBC and definitely, you know, quirky for his time. And no one thought it was Jay Leno, but I think he's much funnier. But that's another story.
Jay Leno is a generational thing, but not funny.
I would agree with that.
At all. David Letterman roasting Jay Leno. Very amazing. Funny.
Very. David Letterman, very funny as well.
Yes, Jimmy exactly. Kimmel, that is the large part of my point.
Yeah. Jimmy Kimmel used to be funny.
I made my point.
Like, I liked Jimmy Kimmel, like, man show era. I don't know if he was, I never watched his ABC show. I never knew if, like, does anyone have any, like, clues to that was any good or not?
I've watched it a little bit. I haven't been a regular, I mean, I don't really watch late night TV very much anyways. Like, the last time I regularly watched late night TV was when Conan was on the late night, and then his very brief run on the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
And then, like, when that all happened, I was like, oh, okay. I guess I'm kind of done. I guess I watch Letterman every now and then until Letterman was gone, and then it's basically just clips of stuff on social media now. Like, I really enjoyed Colbert, but I honestly never sat down and watched, like, episodes of that show at any point.
That's fair. Also, Colbert being serious, like being, you know, real Colbert and not like the Colbert Report was a little like, I think it was, especially when you grew up with that, it's really jarring.
Yeah. Like, oh, wait, you've got this massive heart. And you're like, just, I don't know. Colbert is such like, I mean, I want him back on TV regularly because I miss those clips that I would get of his show because I did enjoy them. But
agreed.
I don't know. It was just like never. I got to a point where I'm like, I don't know, with everything that we have access to now, social media certainly, but, you know, just the way things are, like, I don't really need to sit down at 11:30 at night and watch an hour long late night show to get everything that I would take from that and enjoy.
Agreed. I agree.
And that way, I think the format's kind of, and same thing with Kimmel. I mean, again, I like the stuff I've seen from him. I remember watching the OG Man Show, Tim and Carolla. They were great.
Yep.
And I liked Kimmel on Win Ben Stein's Money.
Oh, hell yes.
Which was a fantastic show.
Agreed.
But like, I just, you know, I don't know. Whatever.
Well, ironically enough, that is the perfect segue. We'll start from the bottom of the list and work our way up. For Emmys. So let's start with Outstanding Scripted Variety Series. The nominees, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, Saturday Night Live, Daily Show, Late Night with Stephen Colbert, and Jimmy Kimmel Live. Steve, what are your thoughts?
Would I watch any of those? Probably not.
Would you watch? Are you interested in any of them? And who do you think is going to win?
No, I'm not interested in any of them. I feel like those are like late night TV shows. I think as Sean says, is very like a product of a bygone era. I would put him for Late Night with Stephen Colbert, maybe, but like, is that because it's the best of the worst? I don't know.
Fair. And remember, I will give credit because Daily Show is better now that Jon Stewart is back.
Oh yeah, sure.
But that's another story.
I think it goes to Colbert just out of sentimentality and also just people being like, you know, like, fuck CBS for what they did.
That's also fair. Although, unless it's like political. I mean, what John Oliver has won for the last like 4 years, right? Or something?
I don't know, but that I would believe you if you told me that was the case.
Yeah,
fair enough.
And honestly, like, of those shows, like, the ones that I would sit down and actually watch full episodes of would be John Oliver at this point. And true. I used to watch him weekly. I don't really anymore. I think I just kind of forget that it's on.
It's also really sad. Like, I love how informative and how, like, good it is, but sometimes you just don't want to hear about the world ending for, like, 30 minutes in a row, you know?
Yeah, but every now and then you get him, like, taking down some, like, you know, power that be, just for sheer, like, laughs and, like, because that person's terrible in it.
Yeah.
I love stuff like that, and he does that quite a bit, but yeah, no, same issue with Saturday Night Live, honestly, like, it got to a point, and, like, not to complain about things getting too political, because, like, that's the climate we're in.
Yeah.
But, like, all these shows, for the most part, outside of Fallon, and I've got some very strong feelings about Jimmy Fallon, and they're not good.
Well, you know, no, me too, but, you know, he's not even nominated, so he doesn't give a fuck. Like, he's fucking
terrible. I don't even need to think about him, which is lovely. But, like, it's not that I don't like that there are things are political. Like, that's totally fine, and for a lot of times, like, I'm really glad they are.
Yeah.
But, like, I can only take so much.
Yeah.
And if the only option to kind of escape from that on a regular basis is Jimmy Fallon, then I'm just not going to watch any of it.
Fair. You know, I think you brought up a really interesting point, though, before, and I think you hit the nail on the head with the social media thing. It seems like all of these shows, Saturday Night Live, you know, maybe John Oliver is the exception because he literally does post his entire episode to, you know, YouTube every week. So you don't even need an HBO subscription to hear the stories. But, like, it seems like all of they are is just looking for the next viral moment, right? Instead of being, like, its own thing. It's just like, oh, maybe this clip, like, they just keep trying, like, a skit on Saturday Night Live to, like, hit the next viral thing to be talked about the next day, which didn't used to have to be the case. It was just people being stupid and having fun, you know? It was never about, like, getting views. And I think that's really what changed. And it was clear as fuck in Jimmy Fallon, especially. You know, we're not supposed to talk about him. But, like, I think that's really, like, the direction these shows are going, and that's kind of, like, the worst part of it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you there, 100%.
Fair enough.
All right. Yeah, I'll give my pick to Colbert and say if Colbert or Oliver win, then I'm happy.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I agree. Steve, same boat?
Yep, same idea.
Fair. Okay, let's move on to Steve and Sean's favorite category, outstanding host for a reality or reality competition program. We have RuPaul.
Oh, I've got thoughts on this, I bet.
RuPaul Charles for RuPaul's Drag Race. Alan Cumming for The Traitors. Okay. Kristen Kish for Top Chef, Jeff Probst for Survivor, and Adriana Maddox for Love Island USA. Best host, not best reality show, remember.
Alan Cumming.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I think I agree with Steve, but who did you say before Alan Cumming?
RuPaul. Charles for RuPaul's Drag Race.
I've never really watched. I RuPaul's fine. No notes. Alan Cumming, I really enjoy. I think he's really funny and delightful in a weird, quirky Scottish way, which is, I think, what they were going for there. As someone who watches Love Island, and if Shelby were in here, she could attest to my feelings on Ariana Maddox. I do not like her. I don't think she's a good host. Oh, I don't think she's interesting. I think she's like, her thing is, like, she always comes in, like, these, like, crazy outfits and stuff, like, which is fine, but, like, always, like, dramatically different hair and, like, all this sort of, like, it's just bizarre. It's like she belongs in, like, Hunger Games and not in Love Island to me. What I think they need is my boy, the good Mark Wahlberg, on Love Island, because these people are doing a lot of psychological damage to each other and themselves, and I feel like he's probably the only person, short of Dr. Orna, wouldn't host necessarily, who can, like, make sure that things are going okay. And the fact that my boy Mark Wahlberg is not nominated makes me extremely bitter and partial to Alan Cumming, because he's the only person on that list outside of RuPaul. But again, I've never watched that show, so I don't know.
Have you watched The Traitors, by the way?
Yeah. I've watched a few episodes. It's good. I think it's one of those things that I just keep forgetting about.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you know, funny thing, I didn't even know there was a US version. I mean, I know I'm showing that I love UK TV a lot, but like I've watched like every episode of the UK version, but I didn't even know there was a US one. And it's based on like the Dutch version. Like that was the original, which is funny. Huh. But now that I know Alan Cumming is hosting, that's interesting. Is the American version any good?
I think it's good. I mean, okay. Like, again, it's just like one of those things I just like forget about. Cause I watch a good deal of like, I mean, most of them are like dating shows. I watch a decent bit of like somewhat reality TV. Like, I never really watched Survivor. I watched a little bit of Survivor. It was just never my thing. Ironically, I heard that Survivor and Love Island are actually shot on the same island in Fiji, and that the people on Survivor can actually see and hear, like see the lights from the villa and hear the partying and good times that everybody's having. That's while they're in Survivor land and just like struggling to survive, which is hilarious.
That is,
yeah,
incredible. I have to check this because now I think this is wrong, because the next category is Outstanding Reality Competition Program. And the last two ones here are Star Wars Visions and The Simpsons. So I'm going to just guess that those belong in the category above it. And it was just a mistake here, because the Outstanding Animated Series is above it. So I'm just going to put them there and hope that's correct. So, Outstanding Reality Competition. It's more or less, it's pretty similar. We got RuPaul's Drag Race, Survivor, okay. Top Chef, The Traitors, and Dancing with the Stars.
Traitors for me.
Yeah, I guess so. Just a kind of by default there.
Yeah.
It's a show that's international. Matt, have you watched Traitors at all?
Like I said, I've watched the UK version, all of the UK version. I have not watched
the UK version. Is real. I think UK version is probably one of the best, if not the best.
Okay.
And I'll say because it's less, there's less, less TV show stars on it. It's more like regular Joes on it, which I really like. Australia has had some of the dumbest people I've ever met in my life on that. Some of those but hands down, it's such an enjoyable show. And Alan Cumming really like takes the hype. But the girl who hosts the British one is also really good.
Oh, Claudia Winkleman rules. I love her.
Yeah, Claudia Winkleman, like, she is a fucking icon. I get it with her credit. She's a very good host. But the format of Traitors is really good. I mean, like, I appreciate that they try to add something new to every season that's not just the same rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
Even with the celebrities, right, while it's not my favorite form of things, I really do enjoy when they have people from Survivor come on and the gamers and things like that. Like Boston Rob was hilarious.
Yeah. Well, I enjoy in the British Traitors, you know, the celebrities that come on are all like the comedians that I've seen on every other British panel show. So it's really cool to kind of see them in the Traitors. So I give absolute credit.
They had that guy from Parliament too, right? Yeah. He was really funny.
Oh yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, that was good. I like that a lot. So yeah, Traitors definitely wins for me. Do you think, and this is more a political statement, do you think that Survivor wins on the political basis that this is its 50th season?
Survivor is a very iconic show, I think, just because of how far it goes back.
Yeah.
I don't know what the ratings are currently. Like, I wonder how many people watch Survivor still.
I think so. Like, my thing with Survivor is I think there are other reality shows that do something similar that do it better.
I think that's a good way to put it.
That's a really good way to put it. Yeah.
If you guys have ever watched Lost, I was never into it. That was like a complete like, oh hey, what are you watching? Okay. Like kind of fine for me. And I get it's a great show to watch, but like as you're going to bed, because like you can fall asleep to it. But it's also like really not Lost, Alone. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
Lost is obviously something different. Alone. Like it's really good. And it feels more perilous than Survivor. It feels realer to me. But
fair.
That's just my thought. You know, no, nothing against Survivor. It was just never really my thing.
No, that's fair. All right. That being said, now that we're going to go to a different category in a second, so let's go. Are there any shows on this reality list that we'd bring to binge worthy that you think would be good? I think Traitors, we should absolutely give it a shot, especially if Sean hasn't seen it or only seen a few episodes.
Yeah.
It's a very hard show to show one episode.
I know.
Be able to get people on board with it. It doesn't really, it's hard to fit that format because it's a show that storylines span multiple episodes. And then
I would agree.
You watching people just fumble the bag half the time is like the best part of it. Cause you're like, these people are like lost the plot. It's just like, you're just like, how did you just forget all this? Like, and it's fascinating to hear the backstories of like how the editing on that usually goes down because it's very similar to other reality shows. But like part of the fascination of it is obviously having the gift of hindsight and you're the viewer who has 100% visibility into things. Right. But you just have to wonder the competence of some of these people.
I agree. Which makes it very, very watchable in my opinion. So
yeah, you know. Absolutely. It's just hard to do over one episode.
All right. We'll figure it out. But anything else? I don't think Dancing with the Stars is this show's cup of tea. Top Chef.
I watched the highlights of Steve Irwin's son winning, and that was very wonderful and emotional and cool. And Robert, that's his name. I watched Robert Irwin win like recently, like one of the last seasons that aired, most recent seasons. That was fun. But like, yeah, no, I'm not interested in going further, I think.
fair enough. All right. Moving right along to Outstanding Animated Series. Now, the first one on this list has been twice voted down on Bingeworthy, Rick and Morty. One that I've never seen, Smiling Friends. The ever-present South Park, and then we get to the ones that were in the reality competition: Star Wars Visions and The Simpsons.
Yeah,
interesting.
Well, hold on, I'm looking at the same thing. Not to raise a point of order, but I believe Bob's Burgers is also on this list.
Really? Maybe I'm looking at a wrong list then.
Because Outstanding Animated Program?
Yeah, but I'm looking at...
official
PDF
from the Academy.
Do it, yeah, because I'm going to go to that because I was looking at Rotten Tomatoes, assuming they were accurate, but apparently not. All right, now I'm going to go to
the PDF. So for Outstanding Animated Program, I've got Bob's Burgers, and I think it's specific episodes, so it's not just
that. Might be a different category.
So this would be Outstanding Animated Program.
Well, there's Outstanding like episode, there is like a comedic episode, I think, because this one just has let me do it. Now I'm just go down the list, we'll see.
Threw a wrench.
Because there's always one for best writing, and that's a specific episode.
Yeah. See, so far I've only seen one animated category.
All right.
It's a 70 page long PDF. Jesus Christ. Seemed long.
Okay, yeah, maybe it is just one episode. So we'll just go with that.
Sure. Anyways, Bob's Burgers episode, grand pre opening.
Yeah.
Rick and Morty. There's something about Morty. The Simpsons. Homer? A cracker, bro? Fuck. Smiling Friends. Le Voyage Incroyable de Monsieur Grenouille. I don't know how to say any of that. South Park Sermon on the Mount. And Star Wars Visions Black.
Yeah, this is a rough. What are your thoughts?
I've actually never watched Star Wars Visions.
Yeah,
because I was avoiding it, but just because like it was never high on my list, and I never watched it.
Blame you. That kind of that show series was kind of the same idea. I remember when The Matrix had like six different animated shows come up at the same time.
Of the Animatrix?
The Animatrix, yeah. It's the same concept. It's just different animation companies doing it. And that's also categorically different, I think, from most other things in this area. Broadcast, yeah. Like it's mostly it's anime, yeah. Those other are more cartoons.
I will say there's one episode I really, really enjoyed. I think it was The Duel. Yeah, the first episode, The Duel, was I didn't like a lot of the other ones, but that one was really awesome.
Mm.
And I don't like anime at all. Okay. But, I mean, again, I think my love of Star Wars outweighed my love of my hatred for anime.
Mm-hmm.
So, I you know, maybe that, and again, that's just my personal opinion. Does it deserve to win, you know, best animated show, especially with the other shows on that list? I don't know, because that was really the only one I really enjoyed, but I'm a terrible judge of anime. But if Steve says it's a little, you know, rudimentary and not great, I'm going to trust him on it.
Well, I'm going to say that it for what I think it was trying to do, bringing it to the more mainstream audiences, I think that's a great thing.
Okay.
I just think that it's the way it was done is very pedantic.
Yeah. All right, I'll buy that.
I sound so like elitist in that. Wow, it's not
really. No, I mean, if you know, you know. Like, you know, I mean, look, I trust your opinion, Steve, on like 99% of the things that we've talked about. So, I mean, I would leave it to you. Like, I would be intrigued to watch it. Like, if there are like is a good episode or a string of good episodes that either of you have seen and would recommend, like, cool. But it's not really something I think I would seek out on my own. And I'm not 100% sure, like, I would actually be like, okay, like, if I commit to watching one, I'm going to watch more than one. Smiling Friends, I think I know what that show is, because I think I've seen, like, clips from it on, like, Reels or TikTok.
Yeah. What's it
about?
Is
that the one where they're all animals?
I think so. I know it's highly rated.
They look like animals, so let's look at the synopsis. Smiling Friends, Inc. is a small company whose main purpose is to bring happiness and make people smile. The series follows the day-to-day lives and misadventures of its representatives, the lazy, cynical Charlie, the cheerful optimist Pim, and they try to cheer up and comfort troubled people who call their company's hotline. I mean...
Okay.
Who's in it? Zach Hadle, Michael Cusack, David Firth. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know this
it's
show
not
at all.
About the length, it's about the Firth.
let's see if we can.
I
find
mean, I'll say this: of the nominated shows in this category, obviously, I've had my time with South Park. I've had my time with The Simpsons. I am so terrified of whatever that Simpsons episode is.
I don't want to. I don't want to know what that is.
Like it. There's actually a Simpsons reference I'm thinking from very early on. Like Sideshow Bob is like watching TV in prison and he hears, I forget who it is, but it's like some like, you know, golden age, you know, Hollywood actress who's older, saying, I'm going to haul ass to Lollapalooza on some Fox comedy that he's watching on like a, you know, rabbit ear TV in prison. And he's like, I forget her name, but he's like, oh, no, that can't be you. That's kind of how I feel about The Simpsons. No, I can't hurt myself like that. South Park, whatever. I'm sure it's funny, but I'm probably not gonna watch it. I've watched South Park a million times anyway. We've had our long discussion about Rick and Morty and the perils of it.
Yeah.
So I'm down to like Bob's Burgers, which I have watched a good bit of Bob's Burgers and enjoyed.
Yeah. Or
Smiling Friends.
You want to watch a trailer for Smiling Friends? And then, I mean, just to see what it's all about. Let's see what this is.
Sure. All right, boys, let's get this puppy back into place. On three,
all right,
ready?
All right, let's go. One, two, three. So what's got you down today, sir?
I can't see anything.
Well, have you tried just moving your hands away from your eyes?
Oh.
Well, that was anticlimactic, but I think I got the gist of it. It seems like it's every...
weirder than I thought it would be.
Yeah,
it does seem like every one of those late night shows on Adult Swim. I don't know.
I would give that show a shot.
Yeah, I would say we give it a shot. I say we add it to the list of shows we watch during this period for Emmy nominees and see what happens. But, you know, again, I don't want to say it's going to win. I don't know enough about it to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll leave it. Honestly. Yeah. All right. Where do you want to go to now?
Outstanding supporting actor in a limited or anthology series. It's on page 33.
Okay. Oh, thank you for the page site. That's great.
No problem. Read away. Go for it.
Okay. Wait. So we're doing, just to be clear, supporting actor in a comedy series. Yeah.
No, in a limited or anthology series.
God damn it. Okay. Hold on.
It's at the very bottom of page 33.
I see. Okay. From DTF St. Louis, great show. We have Jason Bateman as Clark Forrest. Half Man. We have Richard Gadd as Ruben. Also from DTF St. Louis, we have David Harbour as Floyd Smirnich. And we have Richard Jenkins as Detective Donahue Homer. From Beef, we have Charles Melton as Austin. And from Death by Lightning, we have Nick Offerman as Chester Arthur. This is a solid list. This is a really solid list.
I like all of these actors. I've never seen Nick Offerman in Death by Lightning. I should probably watch that. I'm intrigued by that.
Okay, so, and Steve, have you watched Death by Lightning?
I have not.
Oh, my God. Okay, yeah.
Put it on the list.
First of all, I read the book that it was based on years ago, like years and years ago, like maybe even before Max was born years ago. Loved it. And when I heard they were adapting it into a limited series for Netflix, I was like, oh, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about James Garfield in the election of 1880. And our boy, Michael Shannon, plays Garfield.
Oh, sick.
Nick Offerman plays Chester A. Arthur. There's a whole bunch of other like great actors in there, character actors, all sorts of... Shea Willingham, whatever. He played... Nucky's brother on Boardwalk Empire. He's in it. There's a bunch of other really good people in it. Really enjoyed it. Nick Offerman as Chester Arthur is, he's always wonderful. He's fantastic. So I would definitely say we should watch that. I'd love to rewatch it. I think it's only four episodes anyways. So it's a good limited series.
On the list. I put it there.
Cool.
We haven't actually watched TTF, right? Like, I loved that show. So maybe we should
talk about it. Yeah.
We've talked about it. I'll put it there just in case.
I feel like after Stranger Things ended and all the bad stuff about David Harbour and his Pussy Palace and all that stuff came out. I feel like that show kind of almost redeemed how I thought about it a little bit. So that's how good I think it is.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. All right, let's move up. So first of all, let's go through. Do you have any inklings as to who you think will win?
It's a hard list.
It is hard. I think if I had to choose, and maybe it's be by, but I would probably. I haven't watched Death by Lightning, but I think I'm gonna have to go Jason Bateman.
Mm-hmm.
With no other information. But it's hard. David Arbour and Richard Jenkins are both.
I would say Richard Jenkins actually has a very good shot because I feel like Richard Jenkins wins lots of these kinds of awards and he's always nominated for stuff like this.
Okay, that's fair.
But no, I don't really have a way to predict who would win that. So it's a good group.
Fair enough. All right. Steve, your thought?
That one's hard. I don't really have a dog in that one. So I'm the same way as Sean, unfortunately.
All right, fair enough. Let's do Let's go to outstanding supporting actress in a limited or anthology series. So same time. So this is on the page 34/page 35 because the title is on page 34. The nominations are on page 35.
All right.
Okay.
You want me to read them?
Read them out.
We got Linda Cardellini from DTF St. Louis as Carol Love Smirnich.
And
we have Dakota Fanning as...
Sorry.
Yes. We've got Jenny Kaminsky, or Dakota Fanning as Jenny Kaminsky in All Her Fault on Peacock. We have Laurie Metcalf as Augusta Gain on Monster, the Ed Gein story from Netflix. We have Joy Sunday as Detective Jody Plum from DTF St. Louis. We have Yoon Ya Jung as Chairwoman Park from Beef. And we have Constance Zimmer as Anne-Marie Messina from Love Story, JFK Jr. and Carolyn Bessette on FX and Hulu.
Man, I love Detective Plum in DTF.
I've never heard of... Sorry. I thought you were saying there's a show called Detective Plum.
From DTF. Sorry.
No, she was fantastic. She was really good.
But I love Linda Cardellini too.
Yeah.
I haven't watched All Her Fault, but I really have any interest. Oh no, I'm thinking of the other Dakota Fanning show. There's like two Dakota Fanning shows now, right?
Well, there's also Elle Fanning.
Oh, right, it's Elle Fanning. I'm thinking of the Elle Fanning one. Okay, well, I haven't seen either, so I can't change that.
Based hey, on Matt, all you sound I'm really ready. Muffled, by the way.
Matt, I hear something. Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah, there you go.
No,
yeah, 100%.
Cool. I stopped eating the microphone.
Did you start nibbling?
I'm going to have to go Joy Sunday based on anything, like based on what I've seen. But I'll defer to you guys.
Steve?
You know what? Did we say Chairman Beef? Chairman from Beef?
Yeah. Chairman Park from Beef.
Okay. I think I'm kind of leaning towards that. Everybody else, I didn't. And you didn't say Elle Fanning, right?
No,
Elle Fanning. I hope Elle Fanning's one of the leads for her show.
Yeah, I'd say that. Unfortunately, a lot of these ones I really don't know that well. Other than Dakota Fanning. But she's more of a Nepo baby, so I don't care.
And yet Elle Fanning isn't. Anyways. I've of these shows, the only ones that I've seen 100% of are DTF St. Louis and Love Story. And I honestly, I couldn't place who Constance Zimmer is in that show. And that's not a shot on her. I'm sure she's great. I just don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I would go Joy Sunday. I would agree with Matt there.
Yeah.
But I think DTF St. Louis should go towards the top of our list, honestly.
It's up there right now. Yeah. All right. Let's move to lead actor on an anthology series. On page 31. Bottom of page 31.
This is like a Passover Haggadah where you have to keep jumping around for some God knows reason.
Okay. I'm sorry. I wrote down the list from Rotten Tomatoes.
Go in your order. I just appreciate you giving me the page. You tell me what page I'm going to and you got it. Right, outstanding lead actor in a comedy series. We have
limited anthology, so it's right above that.
Oh, bottom of page. All right.
Okay.
We got Riz Ahmed as Shah Latif in Bait from Prime Video. Jason Bateman as Vince Friedkin in Black Rabbit on Netflix.
God, Charlie, we have to watch Black Hunam Rabbit.
As Ed Gein, Monster. Oscar Isaac as Josh on Beef, and Matthew Rhys as Arise. Remember, as Niall Jarvis on The Beast in Me on Netflix.
I haven't watched The Beast in Me, but I love Matthew Rhys. I really think we should watch Black Rabbit because I don't think we ever talked about how good that show was. I liked Black Rabbit.
I don't even know if I really heard of it. So yeah,
I'd go with Matthew Rhys as well. He's really, really good. He's really good in The Beast too.
Maybe Black Rabbit's not the one I'm thinking of. This might be awful. I don't know. I'm going to go Matthew Rhys anyway. Or Oscar Isaac, maybe.
I haven't really even seen all of, like, I've seen a little bit of Monster. It wasn't really my thing. I've started to watch Beef. We actually started to watch Beef the other day, and it was like a little too anxiety inducing at the moment. So, but I like Oscar Isaac a lot. I'll just throw Oscar Isaac out there because sure, I like him. He's a good actor. But whatever.
Fair. I do think that I will give credit where Jason Bateman does make the most realistic addict I've seen in a very long time.
Oh. Well, that's interesting. Well, I guess he is an addict, isn't he? Recovering.
Oh, yeah. Was he? Shit. Okay. Well, I mean, he did a great job. So maybe let's add it to the list and I'll want your opinions on it.
All right.
Okay.
I'm done.
Steve, what about you? What are your thoughts? What are you thinking going with?
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with the Beast. The Beast in Me.
Fair enough. All right, let's go to lead actress in a limited anthology, which is on
Bottom of 32.
There you go.
All right, we got Claire Danes as Agatha Wiggs in The Beast in Me, Sally Field as Tova Sullivan in Remarkably Bright Creatures, Carey Mulligan as Lindsay in Beef, Sarah Pigeon as Carolyn Bessette in Love Story, and Sarah Snook as Marissa Irvine in All Her Fault.
Ooh. Claire Danes.
Release the microphone, Matt.
No, sorry. Shit, I leaned in to look at the nominees. I think I got to go Claire Danes.
Steve?
I'm with you, Matt, on the Claire Danes. The other ones I haven't seen, and The Beast in Me was...
I'm gonna pull something way out of left field here because I know I haven't talked about the show with anybody except for Shelby, and that's Sally Field in Remarkably Bright Creatures.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
It's based on a book. I think we watched it all in a night, and she gives an incredibly heart wrenching emotional performance, and also comforting in a way that only like someone like Sally Field can be. So
there. This is the one about the octopus, right? Is that the one?
Yes.
Okay. She does do a great job in that, I have to admit. I didn't like that movie, and I kept getting distracted by what Alfred Newman, freaking Doc Ock is the octopus. Always just, it just bothered me.
Alfred Molina,
thank you.
Yeah.
Because Alfred Molina as the octopus just felt weird.
I never made that association actually listening to it. I was like, I recognized his voice. I was like, oh, they got Alfred Molina for this? This is great. I never thought about him being Dr. Octopus. That's really funny.
Anyway, that's what got in my head.
Well done, Netflix. You got me there.
Okay, but you say Sally Field.
Sally Field, yeah.
Fair. I
liked her performance a lot. And I've watched Love Story as well. I think that Sarah Pigeon was wonderful and certainly deserving of the nomination. I'd still pick Sally Field over her in terms of how that performance affected me.
Fair enough. All right, let's go to just outstanding limited anthology series.
All righty.
Which should be pretty close.
You say so.
It's not. It's on page 41. Or the bottom of page 41, top of page 42.
Okay. Outstanding limited or anthology series. We got All Her Fault on Peacock, The Beast in Me Netflix, Beef Netflix, DTF St. Louis from HBO Max, Love Story from FX and Hulu.
Ugh. Shit. Holy shit, Conan O'Brien's executive producer on The Beast in Me?
Good for him.
Yeah. Separate him, but yeah.
Make that bag.
I think I gotta go DTF.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Sean, what are your or to Steve, what are your thoughts?
Can you say the list again just so I had to make sure I heard
sure. Right? All Her Fault, Peacock, The Beast in Me, Netflix, Beef, Netflix, DTF St. Louis from HBO, and Love Story, JFK Jr. and Carolyn Bessette from FX and Hulu.
Yeah, I like The Beast in Me. Is it good enough to overpower the other shows? I don't really think so. So I think I default to you guys on that one because I don't think it's worth. Like, I love the show. I thought it was good. I don't think it's worth like being like
that. You skipped a few. Obviously, Claire Danes makes sense as a producer here, but we've also got Jeff Ross and Jodie Foster
as producers.
Interesting.
That's super random.
Cool.
Yeah, you know what? Let's add The Beast and Me to our list.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't watched it.
It's a really good show.
I agree.
You know what I mean? It's just it's a different take, and I like the characterization going on it. So yeah, I mean, yeah, give it a shot.
Fair. Yeah, I think we give it a shot. But yeah, I think I still go DTF just to round out the answer. But now we are on to what I consider the hardest category in this entire list. Okay. Outstanding guest actor in a comedy series. It is in the middle of page 35.
Okay.
And I very much want your opinions on this one, because this one's rough.
All right. Outstanding guest actor in a comedy series. Shrinking, episode The Field, Michael J. Fox. Shrinking, episode Happiness Mission, Brett Goldstein. Widow's Bay, episode Seasickness, Hamish Linklater. Hacks, episode No New Tricks, Christopher McDonald. The Bear, Rob Reiner, from the episode Tornado. And SNL, host Connor Story. Connor Story as host.
I didn't say all of them were good, but I think this is a really hard one to choose. Ooh. Sean, what are your thoughts?
So I haven't seen Hacks. I've heard good things. Hacks is actually on my list.
Okay. I haven't seen it either. Let's add it to the list. I'll put it on this list.
I love Christopher McDonald. For those who don't know, Christopher McDonald is Shooter McGavin.
Yes.
Among many other things. He's also the dad in SLC Punk. Christopher McDonald. He's the voice of Jor-El from Superman, the animated series. God damn it. I'm going to be really hard. Even with Rob Reiner in there for The Bear, very sentimental. I'd love to vote for that. Obviously, we've already brought The Bear.
Yep.
Fuck, Shrinking is just too good for me, and it's really hard to pick between the two. With all due respect to Brett Goldstein, who I love his role in Shrinking, and I think they handle it and him, the character, really well.
Yeah.
As they do most things on that show. I'm going to give it to Michael J. Fox. I think just the fact that he came back and was able to act was wonderful. And I think the impact, his scenes with Harrison Ford, perfect.
Agreed.
And I think it really helped Harrison Ford's portrayal too, which I know we're going to run into him probably a little later. I'm going to go with Michael J. Fox's Jerry and Shrinking.
Yeah,
I think it's just too good to top.
Yeah, first of all, fuck Parkinson's.
Fuck Parkinson's.
But like, I, you know, as much as I love Rob Reiner's The Bear, and he might win just for the, you know, the nostalgia and I wouldn't be upset if he won at all.
I wouldn't either.
But Michael J. Fox carries it. I think Brett Goldstein is going to win next year for the new season of Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
So, you know,
He'll be back. This is not his last nomination. He's too good.
100%. 100%. And, you know, and a lot of his credits are probably going to be writing, because he's a writer on Shrinking. He's a writer on Ted Lasso. He's a writer on, like, pretty much every single Bill Lawrence show. So, I think, you know, I don't think he, I think Michael J. Fox just takes it. But again, it's super hard. Steve, what about you? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm just going to kind of agree with you on that one. I didn't find anybody else in that I would be like, they need to win this.
Fair enough. All right. Well, let's take this and go to guest actress in a comedy series. Which is on page 36.
And I found it.
Nice.
Outstanding guest actress in a comedy series. From Hacks, episode Montecito, Leslie Bibb as Monica. From The Bear, episode Tornado, Jamie Lee Curtis as Donna Barrizzato. From Widow's Bay, episode Our History, Betty Gilpin as Sarah Westcott Warren. Hacks, Montecito, Cherry Jones is Kelly. Also Hacks. The rest are Hacks. From Hacks episode The Garden, we got Laurie Metcalf as Weed. From Hacks The Amazing Race, we got Caitlin Olson. DJ Vance. Okay. And from Hacks The Cube, we got Lauren Weedman as Mayor Joe Pizzamenti.
I'm putting Hacks high up on this list of things
we gotta have to watch. Hacks. Yeah, I agree.
Because I haven't seen Hacks, and this cast is insane.
Yeah.
That being said, you cannot
I think
underestimate Jamie Lee Curtis in The Bear.
Yeah.
Like, shit, she Done. Destroyed that.
Yeah.
Nothing else I can say. I don't know.
Yeah.
Steve, what about you?
Steve, you got any other thoughts?
No. Unfortunately, I don't know more than half of those people are. So, yeah.
Although Hacks having, what, 1, 2, 3, 5 of the 7 nominees is wild. So
that is wild. So we definitely have to watch something. The show.
Yeah.
All right, let's move to outstanding supporting. We're moving up in the world. Supporting actor in a comedy series, which is on the top of page 33, bottom of page 32.
Okay. Supporting actor in limited. Sorry.
No, in a comedy. We're going straight to comedy.
Now I see. Supporting actor in a comedy series from the 4 seasons on Netflix, we have Coleman Domingo as Danny. From Hacks on HBO, we got Paul W. Downs as Jimmy Lusak. I think that's how you say it, Junior. From Shrinking on Apple TV, we have the GOAT, Harrison Ford as Paul.
Yeah.
From Margo's Got Money Troubles on Apple TV, we have Nick Offerman as Jinx Millet. We have on Widow's Bay, Apple TV, we got Steven Root as Wick. From Shrinking on Apple TV again, we got Michael Uri as Brian. And then from Abbott Elementary on ABC, we have Tyler James Williams as Gregory Eddy. I know exactly where my heart lies and where my brain lies. That said, I would like to give a shout out to Coleman Domingo's Danny in 4 Seasons. He's wonderful. I've never seen something that Coleman Domingo's been in that I have not liked. I think he's a good actor and very deserving in any other year. Same goes for Nick Offerman as Jinx Millet, and special credit goes to him for portraying a retired professional wrestler in a way that's believable and likable.
Yes.
The
only reason I watched that show, by the way, because that was awesome, is I wanted to see Nick Offerman as a professional wrestler. But anyway.
I'm going to ignore the fact that it was not Elle Fanning's boobs, but sure, whatever.
I unfortunately Elle Fanning and too many other things.
Harrison Ford is Paul in Shrinking, and if they don't give it to him, then I might riot.
100%. I'm right on board there with you. Yeah, I don't think there's, as much as I love Nick Offerman, and you know, I can't say anything different. Steve?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I would say Nick Offerman would kind of be my default.
I mean, there's otherwise, nothing wrong with that. I love Nick Offerman so much, but you know, I just.
This is, I will say, acting wise, this is the best performance of Harrison Ford's career, and it's not even close.
Yeah, you know what? You're right.
That's just my opinion, but acting wise, and I mean, I love Shrinking, but you know, he's just perfect. Anyways.
All right. Supporting actress in a comedy series, which is on page 34.
All right, I'm just going to stop reading off the networks unless it's something that we're like, what the fuck is that?
No, just read the shows.
Widow's Bay, we got Dale Dickey as Rosemary. Hacks, we have Hannah Einbinder as Ava Daniels. Abbott Elementary got Janelle James as Ava Coleman. Widow's Bay, we have Katie Flynn as Patricia. Margo's Got Money Troubles, we got Michelle Pfeiffer as Cheyenne Millet. Hacks, we have Megan Stalter as Kayla Schaefer. Shrinking, we got Jessica Williams as Gabby. This is a hard one.
This is a really hard one. Is it me? Am I the only one that finds Gabby a little bit off-putting? I've really tried to like her character, and I like her character overall, but like, there's something about her that just kind of like, okay, I get it, enough.
I think it's because
Well, I think it's like because the show is mostly told through Jason Segel's POV.
Okay, fair enough.
Not that they want you to be more sympathetic to one person or another. Obviously, it's geared towards being more sympathetic towards him.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like if Gabby were like the main character, not the main character, but if she were positioned as differently in the show,
yeah,
then maybe I would find her like. It would be a little easier to vote because she does a great job.
I'm not saying she doesn't. The fact that I found her off-putting,
she does a good job.
Leads credence to how good of an actress, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah. My vote's Michelle Pfeiffer. I think she was phenomenal. And also like, damn, Michelle Pfeiffer. But she gave in a hell of a performance. And again, we haven't seen Hacks. So. Hannah Einbinder, I've actually seen her stand up. She's really funny. So I'm hopeful about, you know, that. But I'll give it to Michelle Pfeiffer.
Okay. Yeah, I think I gotta agree with you. I don't nothing else to say. Steve.
Yep. I'm there with you. I don't know too many of these other people, so I couldn't tell you.
That's totally fine. All right. Now we're up to the big boys. Let's do outstanding lead actor. In a comedy series on page 31. We're at the top.
All right. Outstanding lead actor in a comedy series. Wonder Man. We have Yahya Abdul-Mateen II as Simon Williams. Steve Carell as Greg Russo and Rooster. Matthew Rhys as Mayor Tom Lotus, Loftus in Widow's Bay. Jason Segel as Jimmy in Shrinking. And Martin Short as Oliver Putnam in Only Murderers in the Building.
I can't give it to Steve Carell because he's just playing Steve Carell again. I do enjoy Rooster. But it's just Steve Carell.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Widow's Bay. The amount of Widow's Bay I've seen doesn't lead me to believe it's a comedy, but that's just another thing about the Emmys that bothers me.
I know this feels like the Bear is in a comedy category, and you're like, why is this here?
This is a rough one.
Matthew Rhys is a good actor. I haven't watched him either, but
I think Martin Short is great, but I don't really like Only Murders in the Building and kind of ran its course. So I guess Jason Segel. But I like Matthew Rhys. I just haven't seen enough Widow's Bay to make that judgment call. So I got to say Jason Segel and Shrinking by default almost.
Steve?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the same with Matt. Just because I don't think anybody else in that list really fits anything.
That being said, I'm adding Widow's Bay to the list. I'm with you.
I mean, not... Yeah. Yeah, I think we should. Jason Segel, I mean, he does a great job.
Yeah.
No, like no issue with that there. No. And I agree with your Steve Carell comment too.
Like I said, I don't not like I like Steve. Rooster. I like the show. It's just can you really give it, I know that sounds awful, but like
we don't want you to do like what was the movie that he was in where he was like the like really rich guy that was obsessed with the US men's like the wrestling team? It's like,
oh my
like
god,
Snowpiercer, not Snow. Was it Snow?
No,
like where he was like a legit creep that wasn't Steve Carell.
I'm looking it up.
Like I know he's got range, and I just don't. I'm not seeing it in Rooster. It's fine. Agreed. It's a fine.
I've
show,
seen but, his range. Yeah. I know he's good at acting, and like I've seen him in a bunch of stuff. Yeah. But like, anyway, I'm agreeing with you. Yeah. All right, lead actress. Let's do it. Page 31.
Got it. Abbott Elementary, Quince Brunson as Janine Teagues. Io Edebiri as Sid Bear. Elle Fanning in Margot's Got Money Troubles as Margot. Lisa Kudrow as Valerie Cherish in The Comeback. And Jean Smart as Deborah Vance in Hacks.
Jeez, this is season 4 of The Bear, right? Because season 5 is next year, technically.
Yes.
I still got to give it to her. She's incredible. I love Sid.
Yeah.
I think actually season four was probably her best season.
I would agree with that. I love Elle Fanning as Margot Millett. Would be a close second.
She'd be my runner up, I think. Yeah.
But I think Io gets it. Like, just it's too good. Bear's too good.
Yeah.
Steve?
I was going to go with Elle Fanning.
Okay.
Nice. I'm glad one of us went for it. I mean, we should probably add that show to the list too, since we haven't brought it. I know that we've all watched it, but you know, might be worth discussing at least.
Agreed. In depth. Adding it to the list. All right. Want to go to lead actor?
Sure.
Yeah.
Lead actor.
In a comedy series on page 31.
We already did that.
Oh, shit. Sorry. Lead. What am I looking at? Sorry. I'll say, okay, no, sorry, we're on guest actor in a drama series. I just went down the list.
Okay.
Well, please.
What page? Oh, I found it. Guest actor in a drama series, page 35, I believe.
Yep.
All right, we got Colman Domingo as Ali in Euphoria, Ernest Harding Jr. as Louis in The Pit, Jeff Hiller as Larry in Pluribus, Jeff Kober as Duke Ekins in The Pit, Jonathan Price as David Cartwright in Slow Horses, and Bradley Whitford as First Gentleman Todd Penn in The Diplomat.
I feel like we're going to see a lot of The Pit in too. This category. Just saying.
Yeah, no, and well earned.
Agreed. Jesus Christ. Like, I feel bad. It's going to be The Pit. I think The Pit is going to just be my drama series this year. As good as this list is. But how do you choose between Duke and Louis? It's got to be Louis, so right?
Because, well, here's what I'll say. Because we're looking at like individual episodes for the acting categories, at least.
Okay, fair enough.
So this is like a specific episode. So this is the 7 a.m. episode of The Pit. And versus the 8 p.m. episode of The Pit for Jeff Kober as Duke.
Oh, I see. So
it's love Louis. Oh, for a second, I thought I was getting that mixed up with, I was like, I love that cartoon. That was Life with Louis. sorry, ADHD. No, I love Louis's character and Ernest Harding Jr. Wonderful. I'm sad that he can't be back for season 3 because they killed him off.
Yeah. But you're right. The end thing with Duke and
he's just Robbie. So good.
Yeah. Okay. Jeff barely ekes it out, but yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Steve,
yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Steve.
Is still The Pit for you, or are we going somewhere else?
Nope, still The Pit for me.
Are you still, who are you choosing? Louis or Duke?
Louis?
Oh, you're going Louis. Okay.
Good. Get some diversity here. That's good.
Listen, I can't argue with you. All right. Outstanding.
I think one of the three of us is going to be right. At least one of the three.
Agreed. Yeah. And continuing our belief on page 36, if we read the top three, I think we'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. I'm going to make one quick comment after I read the first one. So we got Brittany Allen as Roxy Hamler on the 3 p.m. episode of The Pit. HBO did not put her up for this.
What?
She submitted it on her own volition and was nominated. This was not politic. This was not network driven. This was not producer driven. This was literally her going, I was fucking great and you know it. And they're like, yeah, we do know it. So Roxy Hamler's character, she's the mom who's dying of cancer. Brittany Allen is the actress. The next we have Tal Anderson as Becca King on The Pit. That would be Dr. King's sister.
Yeah.
5 p.m. 1 p.m. episode of The Pit, Tina Ilev as Alana Miller. I'm trying to remember who Alana Miller was.
I'm looking it up now.
Okay, I'll keep going, though. Pluribus, we've got Miriam Shore as
Alana Miller.
The Gilded Age. Merritt Weaver.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
Rape Victim.
Oh, okay. Oh, she was really good too. All right. We got Gilded Age. Merritt Weaver as Monica O'Brien, and then Paradise. Mm. We have Shalane. I never say her first name right. Woodley as Annie.
Okay. Well, I can tell you who it's between. It's Tina Iveliv, Alana Miller, or Roxy Hamler. I don't think I can.
Oh, no love for Miriam Shore?
Oh, shit. Yeah. God damn it.
Yeah.
This list sucks.
That's a hard one.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay, come back to me. I got to think. Sean or Steve, save me.
All right, I'll go. Yeah, I'll go. I'm going to go with Monica O'Brien.
Really?
I really like Gilded Age. I really like Gilded Age. And that's what, that show's peaked in the last season.
Okay. I can't.
You know what? I'm going to go with Miriam Shore. Just for diversity. Just for the sake of mixing it up, the Pit's going to get a ton of stuff. And honestly, any of those three actresses from the Pit deserve it. And if any of them wins it, then I'm happy with that too.
But agreed.
I'll go with Miriam Shore.
All right.
Agreed. I love Pluribus. Pluribus was great.
I agree. Pluribus was great. And I think, you know, shit. Yeah, this one's hard. I love that Roxy Hamler put herself up and I hope she wins, but I got Miriam Shore also. Yeah. But you know,
I mean, if she wins, like, all power to her, like, what a badass move to do.
Agreed. And I'm adding the Gilded Age, cause I don't think I've seen that. Steve, what's the Gilded Age about?
It is. A show set in the early, Gilded Age, like Victorian, in New York. And the show is very, it's just different in the way it portrays like society. I'd say it's more like, it's very period piece in the way that it presents all the characters, but all of the issues that come up get materialized in a way that doesn't seem forced or like a deus ex machina for most of it. It's all very like power moves, people like jockeying for their place in society and people just kind of like figuring out what the heck they're doing around that time. So there's a lot to it. There's a lot of nuance to the show that I think is very good in the way that they present their characters. And like, yeah, there's like a little, there's love stories in between, but it's not like, those aren't overtly the plots. Even the B plots are interesting. Like they talk about the construction of the Brooklyn Bridge. They have like, you know, people kind of meeting each other off the side about different, you know, political issues.
Okay.
The building of a railroad, jockeying of money, people placing like wagering like high stakes on things. And then you meet like total jabronis like JP Morgan and being like, I'm JP Morgan and I think I'm an asshole. Like that's pretty much it.
It's on the list.
But it's really good in the way that the show builds itself over the seasons. It isn't like everything isn't disjointed. There's a continuous build and pressure.
Fair enough.
I trust Steve's opinion on a period piece. So absolutely.
We have the next several weeks cut out for us because we have a lot of good shows to watch. Okay, let's move on to another painful category, outstanding supporting actor in a drama series, page 33. Good luck to us all.
Outstanding supporting actor in a drama series, Patrick Ball as Dr. Langdon on The Pit. Billy Crudup as Corey Ellison on The Morning Show. Sean Hattasy as Dr. Abbott on The Pit. Jaren Howell as Dr. Whitaker on The Pit. Jack Loudon as River Cartwright on Slow Horses. Tom Pelfrey as Robbie Prendergast on Task. And Carlos Manuel Vesca as Menousos.
Is that Menounos? Is that?
No,
Menounos.
Yeah, yeah. Either way,
he's the guy who like takes over like Elvis's suite, right?
Yes.
Or am I thinking somebody else?
He's the guy who walked from. Was he Argentina or Chile?
Oh, it's that guy. Walked from Argentina. Okay, yeah.
Oh, that's Menounos. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, he was good too, but I feel like he just wasn't on enough of that to leave that impression with me.
He also didn't say much. He was great in what he did, but I don't. I think.
Yeah.
I think we have to see more. And again, whenever, you know, we get season two.
The other performances on this list are too standout for me to say that I'm going to give it to him.
Agreed.
Currently, I'm open to future seasons of Pluribus where he has more time to act.
100% agreement. And I'm going to, like, as much as I love all of these characters, I think I have to give the edge to Langdon. Patrick Ball as Dr. Frank Light. Like, this season was so freaking hard, like, emotionally. Like, I just can't imagine. And he did such... He fucking nailed it. Like, his arc was perfect. Yeah. I cannot give it to anybody else on this list. You know, it's not an easy decision, but I think he just edges it, at least in my opinion.
Steve?
Between all those doctors on the pit, that's a really hard setup to kind of go for. I would honestly choose any of them.
But yeah, give me Sophie's choice, brother. You gotta do it.
Yeah, I'd say Dr. Robbie.
Well, and Dr. Lane didn't mean.
Right, I know.
Oh, so, I think I know. A spoiler alert, I think he might be my best lead actor.
Well, we'll see.
Okay, fair.
With respect to Jaren Howell as Dr. Whitaker and Sean Hadassy as Dr. Abbott, both of whom incredible, wonderful performances. I think with the minimal screen time that Dr. Abbott gets, that Sean Hadassy probably did the most with as little time as he had.
Agreed.
Whitaker was fantastic, and I think he showed really good progression in his character arc and growth from season one. He was great in season one too, but I think Patrick Ball did the absolute most in every kind of way this season with Dr. Langdon. He went from being like someone who you just were just pissed off at and frustrated by, and not to be like, not that he wasn't sympathetic, like I absolutely sympathized with this character in season one and I felt for him and it sucked. But in terms of what he was asked to do and what he actually accomplished this season, he was perfect. If he doesn't win this, I'm going to be kind of bummed for him because he deserves it.
Agreed. Yeah. No notes. All right.
Who's next?
Outstanding supporting actress.
Supporting actress
in a drama series on the bottom of page 33.
All right. By the way, The Pitt had the most Emmy nominations, I believe. I know it was at least 25 of all the shows. So.
Does not surprise me in the least. It deserves all of them.
All right. So here's another list of The Pitt characters and some other random people from other shows. Dr. Taylor Dearden as Dr. King on The Pitt. Fiona Dourif as Dr. McKay on The Pitt. Allison Jenny as President Grace Penn on The Diplomat. Catherine Lanassa as charge nurse Dana Evans on The Pitt. Sepeda Moafi as Dr. Al Hashimi on The Pitt. Julian Nicholson as Sinatra on Paradise. And Carolina Wydra as Zosha on Pluribus. Matt?
Fuck. I love Carolina Wydra as Zosha. I think she did, like, for what she had to do as an actress to play everyone was incredible.
Yeah. And she also made you like a hive mind.
Yes!
In a way. And she was bad, like, feel bad for it, which was hard to do.
An incredible range.
Yeah.
And everyone on this list, every pick actress on this list is incredible. So I think my biggest hurdle is because Dana Evans, I fucking love her, and Catherine Lanassa, Jesus Christ, seasons one and two, she raised the bar for herself somehow, because she was incredible in season one, and she brought even more to it in season two.
Yeah,
shit. I give Catherine Lanassa the edge, but it is very close between her and Carolina Wydra. If I had to, gun to my head,
right.
But also Steve. McKay and King were great. Like, fuck.
Yeah.
I think my number one is Catherine, and a close follow up is Carolina, but like not much else, not much room before three either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sean or Steve?
All right, Steve's picking Carolina, Vydra as Zosha. Okay.
Yeah.
It's also a solid pick. I'm gonna pull one a little out of left field here. First of all, Catherine Lanasa, one like all these people are wonderful. She actually won for season one, so I'll just stick that out there. So
she's okay, won fair one. Enough. I'm just saying she upped her game in season two.
The democratic socialist in me wants to share the wealth a little.
Fair.
I'm going to give it to Sepeda Moafi as Dr. Al-Hashimi.
Okay. I think kind not of a bad
in
the choice.
Same way I liked Patrick Ball's performance as Dr. Langdon this year and the arc he had to go on and what he was asked to do. I feel the same way about Al-Hashimi. She came in. She was not likable. She felt kind of like cold and distant. Obviously, we're supposed to be more in the POV of Dr. Robbie.
Yeah.
So of course, like kind of like threatening in a way. I think that the trip that she took us on from start to finish of season two was amazing, and I think that she put in a ton. And I just hope where she ended at season two that she actually comes back for season three, because I really liked her character and I liked her as an actor, and I liked her dynamic. Like her dynamic with Abbott was great. Her dynamic with obviously with Robbie was really fun to watch, as stressful as it could be. I think she was great. So I'll give it to her with all due respect to everybody else, including Dr. McKay. Fantastic. Taylor Dearden,
yeah.
One day I think needs to win it.
Agreed.
I think that Mel King just wasn't quite out of everybody here for me to be like, okay, like, just shoo in. Yep. And shout out to Carolina Wydra, Zosha and Porvus, because she did so much with something that should not have been at all likable or interesting as like kind of like a supporting character, and she really did it. So
100% in agreement. All right, let's move on to as much as I love everybody on this next category's list, I don't think my decision was hard at all. With outstanding lead actor in a drama series, page 31. I stand by my pick.
In the drama series. We have Sterling K. Brown as Xavier Collins on Paradise, Gary Oldman as Jackson Lamb on Slow Horses, Mark Ruffalo as Tom Brandis on Task, Rufus Sewell as Hal Weiler on The Diplomat, and Noah Wiley as Dr. Michael Robbie Rabinovich on The Pit.
No notes.
No debate,
Dr. Robbie. I like every actor on this list. But sorry. The season two of Noah Wiley's arc in season two is fucking gut-wrenching. And
he nails it.
Nails it. I don't think there's any other words to say, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, that was easy.
All right,
let's go to lead actress in drama series, which I already found because that one was so easy. I started scrolling.
Fair enough.
In The Gilded Age, we have Carrie Coon as Bertha Russell. In The Testaments, we have Chase Infinity as Agnes. In The Diplomat, we have Carrie Russell as Kate Weiler. Pluribus, we have Rhea Seehorn as Carol Starka. And Euphoria, we have Zendaya as Rue.
Realistically, this one's not that hard either. Rhea Seehorn.
Yeah.
Done. I don't think
I'm actually on Kate Weiler.
Yeah, really? Okay, why?
I like The Diplomat. I think she does an awesome job on that show. And
all right.
She's a grounded character.
I'm gonna put The Diplomat on the list too. So.
Yeah.
Diplomat's a good show. You just can't watch. I don't think it's a one episode show either.
Fair.
Yeah.
Well, we'll give it a shot. Sean.
Did we do? We haven't done drama series yet, have we?
We're getting to the big ones. The next two are outstanding comedy and outstanding drama series.
Sick. Okay. Where am I going?
How many more categories do we have?
Just the big ones. Just it. That's it. Comedy series and drama series after this. But I think Rhea.
Steve needs to go to bed.
Sorry. We're almost done. I promise. Two more.
No, we're good. Go for it.
But what did you say, Sean? What was your choice? Are you going Rhea or are you going to. I didn't hear yours.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm Rhea Seahorn.
Okay. Cool. All right.
Carol.
Yeah. Let's go to the big two. Outstanding comedy series.
All right. Outstanding comedy series. We have Abbott Elementary from ABC.
Okay.
The Bear, again, just to remind people, season 4 of The Bear on FX and Hulu. Hacks on HBO Max. That rhymes. Okay. Margo's Got Money Troubles on Apple TV. Nobody Wants This on Netflix. Only Murders in the Building on Hulu. Shrinking on Apple TV.
Fuck.
And Widow's Bay, Apple TV.
Well, fuck. I thought Steve, I was going to go The Bear.
Well, Steve, why don't you give us your
pick? I've unfortunately only seen like 2 episodes of The Bear.
Oh, okay. So,
and all the other ones, I haven't seen any of them. So I'm kind of fucked. So I guess I'll default to The Bear because I really did like the episodes that I watched.
Fair.
So I feel like I don't
Fair enough.
Yeah, does that work?
Yeah. It's still between The Bear and Shrinking. I think season 5 of The Bear will win and deserves to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is season 4 versus the season of Shrinking that blew me away. Like,
this would be the most recent season of Shrinking. This would be season 3 of Shrinking.
Oh, it's not the one with Harrison Ford and Michael J. Fox
was nominated. No. That was
Sorry. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. Season 3, which was my favorite.
Yeah, I don't really understand like the release like date ranges for these shows.
Yeah,
for what counts to what, but based on the fact that Michael J. Fox was nominated for Shrinking, it has to be season 3. So, season 3 of Shrinking, season 4 of The Bear.
That's really tough. Just because I think The Bear season 5. Up to the game, I'm gonna go Shrinking, but it's not easy. I think Bear is are neck and neck.
Okay,
Sean, what about you?
It's easy for me. I think it's got to be Shrinking. Bear. I love The Bear, but I feel like for me, like The Bear, I see again. I have a really hard time. Like first of all, comedy series.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. But everyone says that. There's
And I would say that Shrinking has more comedy to it than The Bear. Yes. Certainly.
Yes.
And so that gives it a little leg up in my mind. I will say honorable mention goes to Margo's Got Money Troubles. I really enjoyed that. I think it was really good. I'm really looking forward for it coming back. Shrinking is an easy pick for me here.
Fair. And I think we're gonna get really into Margo's Got Money Troubles when we bring it up on the show.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think
a really catchy theme song.
All right. Here's a rough one, because I like at least 4 shows on this list. A lot.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Yeah, I'm just looking at it. All right.
Outstanding drama series. Do it up.
The Diplomat, Netflix. Gilded Age, HBO Max. A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, HBO Max. Paradise, Hulu. The Pit, HBO Max. Pluribus, Apple TV. Slow Horses, Apple TV. Fuck, Your Friends and Neighbors, Apple TV.
Oh, wow.
Okay, first of all, seeing Friends and Neighbors now. Why the fuck did John Hamm and Amanda Peet and all those other wonderful people on that show not get nominated?
I don't know. I didn't know. That's a really good question.
I know before I just saw it right now, and I'm like, wait, there's more people in this that should be... Yeah, whatever.
Maybe there's some weird thing because Your Friends and Neighbors should have definitely got more awards than this.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it'll get a lot more next year.
Yeah.
I don't
also,
know
James
why
Marsden should have been like guests. Like, come on, come on. They're like whatever.
this has got to be season one. There's got to be some weird thing going on. I don't know. Maybe there's like one episode that snuck under the deadline or something. I'll do some research and get back. I will update everybody next week because I'm very curious why Your Friends and Neighbors only got this one award. Unless we're gonna do it now, but I was trying to save time.
All right. Well, why don't you give us your pick and then you can do some research?
Fuck. The Pit, as a complete experience from beginning to end, with the arcs and the character building and the just overall. And again, I love Pluribus. I love Your Friends and Neighbors. I love Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. But as one whole unit, like, I have nothing bad to say about The Pit season two, you know? From beginning to end, it was the most complete experience I cannot, I am beside myself waiting for season three. So I think I just, again, all of the things I said are really, and I'm really excited for, but I just have to say, like, The Pit, just barely, The Pit. I don't know. That's it. That's all I got. And that was not an easy decision.
Steve.
I'm actually going to go with Knight of the Seven Kingdoms.
Damn!
All right. Explain your work. Tell us why, because I might be going your direction, actually, and I feel like you two are kind of making me debate myself a bit. So, Steve, tell me why.
I felt that there was a much more... It was a show that had a much more concrete direction going for it in a good way that wasn't totally predictable or wasn't totally... there was a dimension to the show that I really appreciated that was like the acting, the casting, the range of all the actors, the way everything kind of played off with each other, like the lightheartedness to it too. I just think it did everything so well that I remember it even a few months after watching it, and I can't say that about a lot of shows.
I can't.
I think I agree with you. I think I'm gonna go Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. I don't think it's gonna win.
I don't think it's gonna win.
But if I had all the power in the world to award, I would give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard because obviously The Pit is incredible. Friends and Neighbors is incredible.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm excited to watch Gilded Age. I haven't watched The Diplomat. Maybe I've seen an episode or two. I don't know. But I would definitely watch that. Like, I don't know what Paradise is, so just forget about that for now. And Orbis, absolutely phenomenal. It's like, for me, it's like, if I could give a four-way tie to Friends and Neighbors, Pluribus, The Pit, and Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, I would.
I'm right there with you.
In terms of picking the one that I had the most fun with and that I got the most easily immersed in, that I have now binged at least two or three times within the first 6 months after it was released, which is telling you something. And I guess too, like kind of looking at The Pit, not to say like any of these other shows, like it's like more like acting performance driven than story, but I think like The Pit really depends on the strength of the actors there. Whereas I feel like, and that's nothing to say about the writing or the directing or the music people or like the person who brings them coffee in the morning, like everyone did perfectly. Like, so it's not a knock on them.
Yeah.
I really feel like Knight of the Seven Kingdoms to me felt like the most complete from like, you know, just like writing, directing, casting, acting, music, design. And they told a cohesive story that was exciting and fun. It was also tragic, oddly relatable. And I think when you also remove like the fantastical elements from it, and kind of make like the Game of Thrones world even more grounded.
Yeah.
Like that to me should be harder. and they just knocked it out of the park. So I will give it to Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. That said, I think this is the Pitt's award to lose.
Yeah.
But I would be good with any of the shows that I listed. I think they're all excellent.
And listen, the only reason I completely agree with everything you said, Sean. I really, really, really enjoyed Knight of the Seven Kingdoms more than I thought I would. As someone who has mixed feelings, especially near the end of Game of Thrones. But the only reason I gave the Pit the edge, and again, this is my opinion, not to make it harder on you, and is just that the emotional roller coaster I went on in that show is unmatched to anything I have felt in a long, like that. I felt that. And that's very rare for me in shows. And that's the only thing. Again, not disagreeing with anything you said. Just had to throw that in there.
No, I think, you know, honestly, if you had picked Friends and Neighbors, if you'd picked Pluribus, I would have been like, yeah, I get it. 100% too. I think these are all great series. And I think, again, like, we've had a great year in terms of like new shows that we've all watched and shared with each other.
Agreed.
It's just been really fun.
Yeah.
So these are all deserving. So no notes.
Yep. Agreed. I think that is the best ending we are ever going to get in the history of Binge Worthy. So anybody have any final thoughts?
I don't think I really have any, because I think Mickey left for Reno already. He said he didn't want to do Vegas because
it's
too mainstream or something like that.
He's got some work to do. Steve, what about you?
He used to do some stuff off the table.
No notes. She ate.
All right. What do you guys want to watch next week? We got a list of, we got Death by Lightning, The Traitors, DTF, Black Rabbit, Beast and Me, Hacks, Margo's Got Money Troubles, Widow's Bay, The Gilded Age, and The Diplomat on our list.
Let's try Widow's Bay.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. So we will see you next week for more Widow's Bay. Steve, any final thoughts?
No final thoughts for me this week. Just happiness.
Fair enough. See you next week. Damn. Sorry that took so long, guys, but I think that was really fun. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was great.
I think it was a great idea. I'm glad we did it.
Yeah.
Yep. And now... Follow it up with some Emmy stuff. That'll be really cool. So, anywho, anyone else got anything else? We're gonna call it. That was a really long 2 hours of all talking. So I think we should leave it short. Anyone else got anything else they want to add?
I saw Supergirl.
What'd you think? Did you like it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, was it as good as Superman, the most recent one? No, but it was exactly what I thought it would be.
Okay.
And we had a fun time. I took Max and Shelby. The three of us went one night. Everybody had a good time. I'm pretty sure that Shelby's already gone to bed, so I can say that she cried during Supergirl, which I was not expecting.
Oh, damn.
And not saying that she shouldn't have, because I totally get why she did.
Yeah.
But it was emotionally moving to someone who is very far from being a fan of the comic book or sci-fi or, you know, whatever kind of genre you want to call it.
Okay.
Big tentpole action movie. Kind of keeping up with Superman. Fantastic soundtrack. Like,
I mean, yeah, okay.
Wonderful.
Was a little shy. I was going to wait for, video, just because it got like, first of all, it's already, unfortunately, DC's biggest bomb, which sucks. But it also got like destroyed.
I find that really hard to believe.
I think marketing and a lot of other stuff really hurt it. Like, I think they put.
I can see that.
I don't think the movie itself, but like, I just think they put too much money outside of it. In like, you know what I mean?
Really, I'm with you there.
But I also know it got roasted by critics, and totally I wanted to know. Do you think any of that is earned? Is it like, you know what I mean? Or is it just, I should just shut up?
Do you know what their specific gripes with the movie were?
Let me take a look. I can pull it up, the Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Because I thought Millie Alcock was great. I mean, I like her. I really liked her as young Rhaenyra in the first season of Hot D. And I thought she was perfect perfect casting for that role. I mean, Jason Momoa is Lobo is like a relatively small part of that movie, but I thought he was also like kind of made for that part. I think that it was good. I didn't really have any issues with any of the actors. I thought the story was okay.
One of the best.
It was kind of what I was expecting from.
Okay. I think looking at the summary of the 54 on Rotten Tomatoes, is that everybody universally praises Millie Alcock, and she brings a swagger and like this.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad she's not getting panned because that would not
be
fair.
Everyone says she did an incredible job, but everyone says that unfortunately the story is a mess. Like she did an incredible job with what she had, but what she had was nothing. I see a lot of a mix of a knockoff between James Gunn and Zack Snyder that like they tried to fit both things but never found a groove and just kind of ended up as jumbled and uninteresting.
I mean, I could see you saying it, like putting it more in like the like stylized and not it's not stylized like visually like Zack Snyder would do kind of, but like you know kind of along the lines of like did Zack Snyder do Kick-Ass? I forget.
That was James Gunn.
It reminded me kind of the Kick-Ass a little bit. That's funny. Okay.
Isn't it Kick-Ass?
Well, whatever. I don't know. I think it was probably less James Gunn shit. Than Superman.
Sorry. I apologize. Mm. Matthew Vaughn did Kick-Ass. Known for the general what are the freaking British movies? Kingsman. And my personal favorite of his.
And he also did
X-Men First Class. One of the better.
X-Men
First Class is my top of X-Men movies. But anyway. Too distracting.
I thought it was perfectly good. I wouldn't necessarily say like go rush to see it in theaters if you're already not like so inclined to do so.
Yeah.
But I would definitely say if you want to sit down on like a Friday or Saturday night when it comes on like HBO,
okay,
just give it a shot. Like go in with zero expectations. Maybe take a gummy or two.
Fair enough. That sounds like a lovely night. I'm down.
It's a fun and it's a quick 2 hours. You know, it's nothing. It's not real long or anything like that. So,
okay.
Yeah, I liked it.
All right.
And I was kind of surprised that Max liked it because he's very much in his like still in his like girls phase. I did not expect him to get so into like a very like girl power movie. But like it was also really funny, and there were several points during that movie where he was just like cackling with like laughter. So you know.
Fair enough. Well, I'm excited. I'm intrigued. As a quick teaser, though,
I also feel like there's a degree, and like I don't want to be that guy, and I don't want to like beat a dead horse, but like I think there's probably a degree of like misogyny in there. Like, okay,
that's fair. And know, that wasn't the reason I didn't want to see
like
it.
Like review bombing,
put that on the record.
I mean, people are weird about like what they are like adverse to just on principle, I think, and that it kind of strikes me as a movie where people will probably be that way. But
I guess makes sense.
I liked it. It was fine.
No, listen, and again, the Ew Girls was not the reason I didn't want
to
see it.
I was more excited to see it than the Lanterns show because I really don't know what's going to happen with that. That's gonna be interesting. Yeah, and I want Lanterns to be good, but I don't know about that. I don't know if it will be.
Well, as a slight teaser for next week, and we'll surely talk about it. My mom wants to go to a movie, and the only thing out that we agreed on was The Odyssey. So me and Christopher Nolan are going to have some words, I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah, you're going to have to report back on that one.
Let me know what John Barenthal does.
I love John Barenthal. There's a lot of things. Hey, I my take on Nolan. So I'm very intrigued as to the quality of, but anyway, putting my Nolan hatred aside, I am very interested to see, because I've also heard some really weird things about how they say, "Oh, it's so realistic," but also not. So I'm very interested to see what happens.
It's literally mythology. I'm interested about that. Okay.
Listen, I I'm going in with no expectations. Yeah. My only thing is I hate Nolan.
Fair.
I don't have any hatred against The Odyssey. I actually love The Odyssey.
Yeah, no. Like that, like sure. If you're gonna use something that's established IP, let's do something that people haven't done in quite a while. Why not?
Yeah. No problem with that.
Yeah. I doubt that I will go see it in the theaters, but if you say good, then I'll watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite Christopher Nolan movie at this point in my life, and I do like some of them, is Dunkirk for several reasons. And I feel like that's kind of out of left field.
No.
Unless you know me, but like.
Dunkirk makes sense, and especially because, you know, when his sound mixer didn't have to really worry about dialogue that much, unlike Tenet, yes. Unlike most of his recent movies where you can't hear
goddamn. And honestly, Dunkirk is like Hans Zimmer's movie. Drives that movie with that score, like,
yep.
Drives it. And it's, you know, I just think that it's a good story, and it's short too. It's like such a short movie.
Yeah. If I wasn't seeing this at the Alamo with my mom, like, and by the way, she's celebrating
her big time.
Yeah, and you know, she's celebrating her big 7-0, so you know, she gets whatever she wants this week.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, it's like I wouldn't see it most of the time, but I am intrigued, and I will definitely give you my honest report. I am going to try my best to set aside my Christopher Nolan opinions. So we'll see. All right.
Cool.
All right, guys.
That's it. Thank you guys for dealing with for doing that. Was awesome. So much fun. I'll see you all next week.
See you next week.
Nice. All right.